eat more vegetables, move around more.
Yeah, well, that's probably a good idea, whether you're paleo or you're not. And I'm not.
Whether you're from the Stone Age or the Space Age.
Many people have said I'm from the Stone Age.
Okay, well, what would you call a diet if you eat a lot of vegetables during the week, you have some fish, then as the week goes on, you get more tired, you have burritos and chips, and then around 4 o'clock on a Friday, you have M&Ms.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a very realistic diet, if not a good one.
I think that's the radio producer's diet or the anyone on a deadline diet.
Yeah, well, pass the candy.
The members of our production team are quite evolved. Gary Niederhoff, Barbara Vance, and Gabriel Alvarado.
Also, support from Google and Rena Shulsky-David and Sammy David and the NASA Astrobiology Institute. Big Picture Science is produced at the SETI Institute. And a big thanks also to our listeners.
Your ears have been attuned to Skeptic Check Paleo Diet. And if you have an appetite for more Big Picture Science and more Skeptic Check, you'll find it on iTunes and through the link on our website. And while you're online, you might find and download our Big Picture Science app. It's on iTunes, Android, and Windows 8.
And if you're a podcast listener, but you prefer over-the-air radio because it's a bit more paleo, well, check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry the program. And if your local station is not on that list, consider letting them know you like this show.
How is over-the-air radio a little more paleo?
Well, it's quite a bit older as a technology.
This acorn salad looks delicious, Grog.
Sure does. Ow!
It's okay, it's only molar.
Skeptic Check is brought to you thanks to a generous grant from the Trimberger Family Foundation. At the Trimberger Family Foundation, we hold that skepticism is a lamp that lights the way to truth. You don't need to be a scientist to hold that lamp. Look for evidence. Keep on thinking. Trimberger.org.
What up? This is...
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views expressed by the participants are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio or Henry Ford College. Welcome to We Are Not Alone. We're local investigators, as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists, share the latest evidence in support of the UFO reality. I'm David Twitchell, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn. WHFR.fm is the station making waves, and for the next hour, we will be exploring the mysteries of the UFO and abduction phenomenon. And our guest today is Dr. Robert Davis. Dr. Davis is an internationally recognized scientist in his field and served as a professor at the State University of New York for over 30 years. He graduated with a BA and MA from the City University of New York and a PhD in hearing science and audiology from the Ohio State University. He has published over 40 articles in scholarly journals and several book chapters on various topics in clinical audiology. His research and investigation into the UFO phenomenon convinced him that the phenomenon remains unresolved, is a source of considerable debate among millions worldwide, and is a very important concern that has been ignored by the general scientific community. Dr. Davis is the author of the book entitled The UFO Phenomenon, Should I Believe? And we're fortunate to have him on the line with us today. Welcome to the show, Dr. Davis.
Well, thank you very much, Dave, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, our pleasure indeed. And how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Considering we're heading for winter. Yeah. Where are you located?
Well, actually, I just moved down to southern Florida. So I'm not sensitive to wintry conditions now.
Oh.
But coming from northern New York, I've had my share.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got a spare room?
More than welcome anytime.
I appreciate that. Okay, listeners, you heard that now. You're a witness. Okay. Give our listeners, please, if you would, the capsulized version of the extent to which you have gone to prove or disprove the UFO hypothesis.
Well, the UFO phenomenon is real. UFOs certainly are real. There's no question about it. The most critical questions associated with it are the who, what, and whys that govern and regulate the UFOs that have been observed by millions of individuals over many centuries, if not longer, and have been a source of great debate and study. But unfortunately, we have not made any sufficient advance in terms of trying to better understand what, again, governs and regulates the behavior of this phenomenon, which is very unfortunate.
Hmm. Well, when you say behavior, are you talking about the maneuverability of these objects? The fact that they, you know, abductees claim to be levitated and floated through walls, windows, doors? Is that what we're...
Yes, exactly. There's a wide diversity of phenomena associated with UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do they defy laws of inertia and gravity, as characterized by their maneuverability,
mm-hmm.
But also the mental aspect, the paranormal related aspect of this phenomenon, which you just referred to,
mm-hmm.
The reported abductions that people experience by various beings, which has persisted over time, and again has remained a source of great debate,
mm-hmm.
As well as telepathic communication that people report to have had with various beings who operate these craft. The question is whether or not this phenomenon is from another solar system or space-time or dimension. We don't know. But it does exist.
Right.
Whether or not it's in the minds of the individual or it is a physical entity of a being of non-human intelligence coming here to our planet to observe, record, and analyze whatever their mission may be, or it is both in the minds of the observers as well as the so-called beings or non-human intelligences which govern these craft.
When you say in the minds of, are you talking about you're not talking about the phenomenon exists only in people's minds, but how people view what they're experiencing?
Yeah, it's a good point. I would say both. We cannot conclusively rule out that it's a phenomenon associated with one's psyche, or a combination of a psychocultural hypothesis, as well as the real interaction with non-human intelligent beings.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to ascribe to the notion that the phenomenon represents both, since there is some type of non-local communication that is going on between individuals and those who interact, supposedly, with human beings. And I can't help but not refer to studies that were conducted by J. Allen Hynek. Of course, you are well aware of his research
Oh, yeah.
as an investigator of Project Blue Book, among others, back in the 60s and 70s. Dr. John Mack, a Nobel Pulitzer Prize-winning psychiatrist from Harvard University, among others, who regarded the phenomenon after very careful, long-standing study of the alien abduction phenomenon, as well as field investigations of numerous reported UFO incidents, to be a phenomenon associated with both the physical and mental aspect of those who come in contact with this phenomenon. And they're not alone. But it's interesting that these leading scientists who have conducted considerable investigations into this area come to the same, similar, in other words, conclusion. It's a psychic and physical phenomenon. They didn't have any specific answers other than it remains unanswered. And worthy of further investigation.
Right.
Which, so, unfortunately hasn't happened.
So it hasn't happened, but do you think that there are investigations going on behind closed doors or in underground facilities, something like that, covert operations, black operations?
There may be. It's impossible to know for sure. There have been astronauts like Gordon Cooper, who you are well aware of, Dr. Edgar Mitchell, journalists like Leslie Keen more recently, among many others, both in the military and government officials, who contend just that there is some type of special unacknowledged access program conducted by some some group associated with either the military or government or both that is conducting research in this phenomenon. But there's no hard, tangible, objective evidence to support that contention. Not that we can't dismiss it as a possibility, but there's no question that the CIA, the FBI, the government, since the 1940s, both in the United States as well as many other countries, have regarded this phenomenon to be of significant importance. They acknowledge this, and it's clearly acknowledged through documents obtained through the Freedom of Information Act, and both here and abroad. There's clear concern. The question is, I don't necessarily think whoever may be in the know has any clear answers as to what this phenomenon may be.
No.
But if they do have information associated with what it might potentially mean, they certainly are not sharing it overtly with the public. And if I had answers to it, I wouldn't either, for fear of ramifications, which are both on a personal and societal level.
Well, what kind of ramifications? Retribution by the government, the military, those underground black ops? What?
Well, let's say, for instance, that it was made known by whoever is in the know that UFO phenomenon is real. It is governed by non-human intelligence. They're here for whatever reason. And certainly the impact on individuals and society overall, we can only speculate, but they would initially at least be adverse, negative in nature, I think. People would certainly be fearful. They'd run to their banks for cash. The stock market would crash. The gold will soar. The psychologically disordered individuals will react in unpredictable, probably extreme ways, and there would be certainly religious, faith-based considerations that would also have to be addressed by religious leaders and politicians. And the government will certainly be on the defense, trying to answer questions from society that they probably don't have. So, and we're talking about a multi-level, complex event that would be shocking in terms of its revelation to society and in terms of providing answers that might potentially comfort society who is going to yearn for answers and knock on the door of the White House for such input and answers to feel more secure about what is going on and potential implications that this might have for our planet overall, and in both on an individual and societal level. So they're not going to reveal anything if they know. At least I don't think they would.
Well, not, you know, there would be repercussions after almost 70 years now since Roswell, but do you think there would not have been as many repercussions if they had just leveled with us from the outset and given us what information they did have as they garnered it?
It's very possible. That's a good point. I don't know, however, if they had the answer way back then. And if they didn't leak information out without covering a lot of it up, which they certainly have. There's no question there is some degree of conspiracy and withholding of information that they're aware of, which is clearly revealed, again, through documents obtained through the Freedom of Information Act. But if they were more upfront and personal with this information, people obviously would be more accepting of this revelation if it does, in fact, exist. But There's no question that they're in the know. Not that the president may not even know, but certain components, shall we say, or covert ops, hidden within the complex military and government structure, are in the know.
Right.
But here again, we can only speculate what tangible physical evidence they may have to support their position that the UFOs are real and they're from XYZ, and what their mission, more importantly, might be.
So we
don't know for sure. And unfortunately, after careful study over the past numerous decades, I think you would concur, and correct me if I'm wrong, that we have made very little progress to better understand this phenomenon.
Publicly, I would agree with you. The kind of information they have put out publicly, yes, I agree with you. But I think that covertly, there's a lot, or even though they don't really have the whole answer, and I doubt if they ever will, because I don't think the human brain can wrap itself around the complexities of what they're doing over there and the kind of laws of physics that they are aware of which they're aware, but covertly, I think there are a lot of answers that they have, but they're keeping from the public at large. Like the book, We Can't Tell the People. That's what they said over there in England, We Can't Tell the People. You remember?
Oh, no question. Yeah. Nick Pope, who ran the UFO desk for the Ministry of Defense for many years in England, came out and said just that. We did hide information from the public in general, and there was some degree of conspiracy not leak this information for fear of potential adverse ramifications from society in general. And we have instances here where people have reported to government committees of UFO encounters and various incidences that are remarkable in detail, where there are multiple witnesses by pilots, passengers, you name it. We can go, we can dissect these incidents left and right. We don't have sufficient time to do so, but it's easy to obtain on the internet or in my book, as well as your books. But the individuals who have shared these incidents with scientific study groups of for instance, President Reagan's team of scientists who are very much interested in this phenomenon, after disclosing certain incidents, these individuals were told that by CIA members that this never happened, you were never here, right. And you never said this.
Right.
At least that's what has been disclosed in various books by journalists who have access to this type of information.
Right.
But there are numerous, there's no question there's a conspiracy at some level that this phenomenon exists. The more important, overarching, all-encompassing issue is, what do we do about it now?
Mm-hmm.
Where do we go from it now? I mean, many people consider ufology to be a dead topic.
Oh, I don't think
people
so.
People go to these UFO conferences, and there's not many who attend it anymore.
Well,
more people go to a Comic-Con.
Comic-Con, yeah.
The younger generation is not interested in UFOs.
Well,
as much as they are in just about everything else.
And yet,
it's a dying pseudoscience, in a sense, which, again, is highly unfortunate.
If you look at the conferences, like MUFON's conference, that's quite well attended every year, and especially only these TV shows, Hangar One, Unexplained Files, and NASA's files, and Ancient Aliens. Television shows. The television is just deluged with. Shows on UFOs and some of the cases that just can't be explained,
Well, that's true. It's a popular topic in various media forms, and there is considerable interest by society in general about this phenomenon. More people, I think, in our age group, shall I say, than the younger Gen X, generations. But nevertheless, here again, when you watch these shows, it's primarily retrospective in nature, continually analyzing events which occurred in the past. And there's a considerable redundancy of this information whereby they try to figure out, is that a UFO or not?
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting at some level, but it's not revealing in terms of okay, if it is, so what?
What are we going
to
do about
it? Continue to kick around the same events,
right.
The Roswell, the Rendlesham, the Belgian Wave. We can go on, the Phoenix Lights.
Yeah.
And this ongoing debate and analysis with no clear resolution, and we're not going to get any firm answers by continuing to engage in this retrospective analysis of prior events.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to do is to try to figure out how to more be proactive, develop a prospective type of analysis to better understand the phenomenon. And this is what the foundation, if I may add, for research into extraterrestrial encounters, known as FREE, founded by Ray Hernandez. And
right.
I believe you interviewed him several months back.
I did, yeah.
I'm on that research team and board of directors, along with many other scientists and non-scientists, and we are now conducting a very comprehensive study with those who claim to have been contacted in some various ways by non-human intelligence, either being abducted physically or not being abducted.
Or some kind of contact,
That's correct.
Yeah.
And we have conducted surveys on thousands of individuals now. We're following up with qualitative information that will help complement the survey data. And the results thus far, which I'm not at liberty to share with the audience, are astonishing in terms of their similarity, in terms of potential evidence which helps support that there is some type of interaction occurring between non-human intelligent beings and us.
Mm. What is it you're not at liberty to share?
Specific data. the actual results from the surveys, we have a lot. We have not statistically analyzed it in a manner that can be presented at conferences, but we plan on doing that at conferences next year. Mm. We will eventually write it up for publication. And I think this is going to be earth-shattering. I know MUFON is doing a study now with those who claim to have, again, also have been abducted by aliens. But it's a much smaller scale, and I commend the MUFON group for pursuing this. But we have to, but the point is, instead of analyzing past events, we have to engage in some type of phenomenological study whereby we get a better understanding of the essence of the experience people are having with such types of contact with various forms of non-human intelligence to try to figure out what is actually going on.
Right. I need to...
We don't know.
Right. I need to take just a short break just to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the only station making waves, and that's 89.3 FM on your radio, WHFR.FM on your computer. I'm David Twitchell, and you're listening to We Are Not Alone. And I wanted to take just a moment to here to remind our listeners that on March 19th, 2016, MUFON, Michigan chapter MUFON, is sponsoring the Swamp Gas Conference. That's at Wyndham Garden Hotel in Ann Arbor, Michigan. This is to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the historic Hillsdale Ann Arbor UFO event. That's the one that J. Allen Hynek was involved in, saying that all they saw was a little bit of swamp gas. But, of course, he always regretted having said that. But at any rate, Peter Robbins, the author of Left at East Gate, the Rendlesham Forest UFO incident, will be there, as well as Grant Cameron, who is a webmaster for Presidential UFOs, will be speaking, along with others. So that's the Swamp Gas Conference. And March 19th, 2016, and please go to MUFON, MIMUFON.org. That's MIMUFON.org for more information on that. And right now we're speaking with Dr. Bill Davis. And we're speaking with him.
Bob Davis.
I apologize. I'm trying to change your name over here. Dr. Bob Davis, yes. I'm thinking of as the head of Michigan MUFON, Bill Konkoleski. He will be speaking there as well. So, at any rate, Dr. Bob Davis, author of The UFO Phenomenon, Should I Believe? Now, let's get back to this data you can't share. How about a teaser on that? You say you've gathered some information on alleged abductees and those contactees. You say the world will be amazed. How about a teaser on that?
Those who follow this phenomenon with great interest, I think, would be very much intrigued and stimulated by the results, which are preliminary right now.
Mm-hmm.
But what I can share with you is the remarkable similarity of responses by over 2,000 individuals who responded to different surveys, which address the nature and manner of their interaction with non-human intelligences.
Mm.
The majority of these individuals claim to have very similar types of experiences, which range from telepathic communication, downloading of information from these beings, being taken aboard a physical craft, although not always the case. The types of procedures that may have been performed on them in terms of biologic procedures, and other associated incidents and interactions that defy logical explanation.
Right.
And the question I have after looking at this data, which again needs to be more weeded out and analyzed, is the unique, again, similarity among a large sample size population. It's hard to imagine that it's just in their minds when you see such similar types of anecdotal reports of experiences when they don't interact with one another to share this information. So is it, again, in the just in their minds, or is it a psychocultural phenomenon of some type, or are the conclusions made by Dr. John Mack and Dr. J. Allen Hynek as a physical as well as a psychic phenomenon, which seems to be supported by this preliminary evidence? But what I come away from it, at least initially, and there's more to be analyzed, and we're going to also conduct interviews with these individuals to better understand the essence of their experience, is the fact that there is, at least in my mind, something extraordinarily profound occurring.
Right.
And whatever that might be, even if it's a phenomena associated within one's own mind that has nothing to do with non-human intelligence from wherever, that is an extraordinary conclusion.
I know. In fact, I've said before, if this is a mental condition, that should be of great, because of the sheer numbers, that should be of great interest to psychologists, psychiatrists. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, Dave, without question. And I said just that in my book. Sociologists, psychologists alone should find that to be very fascinating in and of itself,
right?
Let alone the possibility, certainly, that we are having some degree of interaction with other beings, which should get more than the attention of scientists across numerous disciplines, as well as political leaders and people worldwide from all walks of life, certainly.
Well, politically... As they've said many times in ufology, politically, the UFO topic is the third rail. You touch it, you die. You know, they can't approach that that subject without ridicule. And
without question,
yeah.
If I was a politician running for office, the last thing I would say was what I've said in this past half hour or so.
Right.
I would not acknowledge that topic area for obvious reasons.
So as a scientist yourself, have you gotten any ridicule or suffered any damage to your career exploring the UFO phenomenon?
No, I'm retired. So,
so you say what you want. You'll say what you want.
In a sense, but I've always been very careful who I talk to about this, because the initial reaction by many people is that this guy's off base in some way, and certainly the topic area does attract many individuals who are not, say, as balanced as the general population, which is unfortunate. Even the new agers that come on board tend to give the topic area a bad name, and that's why it's considered a pseudoscience by the scientific community, and detracts scientists from engaging in needed research to better understand the phenomenon, which is unfortunate because we need more scientists, if anything, from a wide range of disciplines, and non-scientists as well, to better understand what is going on, because something indeed is going on. The question is, we don't know, and we're not going to know if we continue on the same path that we are.
Right.
And, you know, MUFON aside, I congratulate MUFON groups for all they have done, the time and effort and studies they've conducted to better understand the phenomenon, all of them, and you included, David, are to be highly commended for the quality of work that you have performed.
Thank you.
To a large extent, it's beyond our ability to firmly understand the essence of this phenomenon, probably because we don't have sufficient scientific principles to apply,
right,
nor the scientific method that's appropriate for studying such a complex, paradoxical phenomenon.
Well, the skeptics always say that there's just no evidence. But what direct evidence, circumstantial evidence, have you uncovered? Let's go with the direct evidence. Have you uncovered in your research, such as ground radar, ground evidence radar?
There's no question. There are numerous incidents, and you know this, Dave, numerous incidents of confirmed pilots and radar confirmation of an anomalous aerial event, whereby shall we say, UFOs travel up to 9 to 12,000 miles per hour, make right angle turns, all that, and when we talk about trained pilots having their visual observations confirmed by radar, we're talking more about a credible event. This is not unique. It's happened numerous times for many decades, and I consider the events where UFOs are seen over nuclear military installations,
right,
both in the United States and in Russia, whereby UFOs deactivate and then reactivate nuclear warheads, which is considered to be beyond impossible by those who operate these missiles. Robert Hastings, of course, is an expert in that area. He's written books on the topic.
Right.
I regard that as more of a smoking gun than anything else in terms of incidents regarding UFOs.
Right.
Much more important in my mind than Roswell, the Phoenix Lights. So Rendlesham Forest is up there, too.
Well, it's
Sheik Harbor incidents. There are some incidents, but I don't consider them to be the all-encompassing smoking gun that provides undeniable, irrefutable evidence.
No, I don't think any one particular piece of evidence is the smoking gun. I think the body of evidence is the smoking gun. What would you say?
I think that's well said, Dave. Collectively,
right.
And I do mention this in my book. If skeptics take the time to seriously analyze all the evidence, trying to separate the sense from the nonsense, fact from fiction, there's a lot of nonsense out there.
Oh, yeah.
But doing a very serious investigation, I think they will come to the conclusion that there is a profound mystery that has yet to be resolved and deserves considerably much more attention by the scientific community and by organizations for appropriate funding to conduct needed research to better understand this phenomenon.
Right.
Collectively, yes. I couldn't have said it any better. Unless they, of course, land on the proverbial White House lawn. When you look at the evidence,
which they almost did a couple times, 52, 53, and just, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, there was flyovers of UFOs over the White House.
Well, yeah, 52, incident over Washington, D.C. in 52, I believe,
right,
where for a week or two, there were numerous UFOs seen over the White House, Pentagon, et cetera.
Right.
That incident's often ignored. I consider that highly compelling.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody focuses on Roswell. I consider there are other incidents to be more compelling than Roswell, which I tend to regard as just a weather balloon, possibly at a very sensitive time in our history during the Cold War. Who knows for sure? But you know, the contentions made by many ufologists that we have alien beings and associated physical craft in underground bases somewhere in the United States, you know, it's counterproductive.
Mm-hmm.
You get these conclusions by leading researchers in ufology that are just unsubstantiated. They're anecdotal in nature. I like to see how they come up with these conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, it's just hearsay. Now, they could be right. I just don't see, however, tangible, objective information that leads them to make these profound conclusions.
Right.
And it gives ufology a bad name.
Yes. Well, the web, you know, is rife with alleged declassified or leaked documents concerning UFOs. But how much of these documents do you say that can be trusted? Have you investigated some of these documents?
Well, many can be. Obviously, we need to be critical in evaluating it for mm-hmm. their authenticity. Much of what you get are redacted or blacked out, you know, pieces of information regarding a particular incident. So it's not all forthcoming, but there certainly are many memos written by high-level military government officials, pilots who've had direct encounters. It's obvious. It's obvious that it's a matter of significant concern to these individuals. There's no dispute about that.
Right.
The question, of course, is the who, what, and why's associated with the phenomenon and these specific incidents.
Right.
And we don't have time, of course, to dissect each and every memo. And there are numerous memos, but some much more important and revealing, credible than others, that do warrant attention. I do address that in my book. Richard Dolan, too, addresses it in his book. But the bottom line is we know leading government officials and military officials in the past acknowledge it.
Right.
They believe in the phenomenon. Okay, big deal. You know, in a sense, big deal.
Mm.
Because what are we doing about it?
Well, right.
Whatever we may be doing about it is certainly not being overtly revealed to society at large.
No.
If we're doing anything at all about it.
Right.
And that's up for speculation.
Right.
The point here again is we keep on dwelling on the past, and which is good. We learn from it. It's important. We have a better understanding of the phenomenon by doing just that, but we can't continue to dissect and kick it around because we're not going to go any further.
Right.
And the studies by FREE, as I mentioned earlier, Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters, studies that MUFON is conducting with individuals who, again, claim to have been in contact with non-human intelligence, that's where we need to go.
That's it.
Phenomenological study. To understand the essence of such experiences, that might have the potential to be revealing.
Right.
It's going to be more productive, I think, than continuing to determine if a UFO crashed in Roswell, New Mexico,
right,
back in 1947.
I need
tired of that. You know, I really am.
I need
it makes
to take
good TV, books, but that aside, we're not going to learn anything more about this unique phenomenon, which does exist and needs to be figured out.
I need to take one more break just to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. 30 years, we're just getting started. And that's 89.3 FM. I'm David Twitchell. You're listening to We Are Not Alone, and we're speaking with author Bob Davis. See, I said Bob Davis this time. I could have said Jim Woochie Cooch, I don't know, but I said Bob Davis. So back to this, your book, you know, there's books with specific, you mentioned before Roswell and Rendlesham Forest and the Hill case, Benny and Barney Hill, you know, Beating the Dead Horse. Do you have any cases, little-known cases, in your book that you could quickly discuss with us?
that you feel is not smoking gun, but certainly goes toward proving the case of the existence of UFOs.
Yeah, one of the most compelling incidences was that of the Iranian air pilot Jafari was his name, and there's another incident involving a pilot, and I can't recall his name, from Chile, I believe. They presented their experiences at the Disclosure Project, led by Stephen Greer and Stephen Bassett, a few years ago.
Right.
Their accounts of their experiences, more than anything, were highly convincing and quite compelling in terms of what happened, whereby they described the behavior of the UFOs, traveling at obviously tremendous speeds, coming to a dead stop, attempting to fire on it, their weapon system jammed, the mechanics jam in their plane. One of them fires at it, a missile at it, and it's absorbed by this object. They then see four other UFOs emanate from that large one, and they go in different directions. It's instances like that.
All right.
That get my attention. I think it should get anybody's attention. And it was confirmed also by radar, which adds more credibility to the instance. Gordon Cooper also, the astronaut Gordon Cooper, the Mercury mission. He said he saw a UFO land in the deserts in the Southwest and acknowledged seeing beings come out of it, then enter back into it and take off.
Phil Mitchell,
as well, who is also a member of FREE on the board of directors, the sixth individual to walk on the moon. He contends that he has direct knowledge of UFOs being known by government officials and military officials. He went on the record.
He was on the show.
So,
he was on the
and
show.
And also advanced the quantum hologram theory, which might tie into, in terms of the quantum physics, might tie into this phenomenon at some level.
Mm-hmm.
It may or may not, but it's interesting to consider it. And he regards that it does.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Mitchell,
there are numerous other incidents that have gotten my attention, more so, again, as I've said earlier, than Roswell. The Rendlesham Forest incident, I think, is rather unique, whereby the two individuals who touched the craft at Bentwaters Air Force Base were observing this black, solid, triangular object, and Penniston and Burroughs reported seeing two different objects, and they were standing right in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were downloaded binary codes of zeros and ones, which they wrote down extensively following their encounters. And guess what? They were the same, even though they didn't share that information with each other. And it's now being the subject of considerable analysis in terms of what it might mean.
Mm-hmm.
Some think it might have something to do with coordinates of our satellites as an initial preliminary conclusion. It's instances like that, again, where people looking at a UFO describe two different things. People receiving downloaded information from some being or somewhere else.
All right.
That cannot be accounted for. Telepathic communication.
All right.
It's things like this that border on the unbelievable, but may be answerable by theories associated with quantum physics, which, of course, is very spooky and mind-boggling and difficult to grasp.
Right. It's not true.
Einstein called the spooky action at a distance.
Right.
But there might be a connection here. It's difficult, if not impossible, to know right now.
It's not your grandfather's science, quantum physics, but at the same time, it's progressive. I mean, 100 years ago, if we had stopped delving into science and saying, what does this do? Why does this do this? Then we wouldn't be any further ahead than we were then. So, quantum physics is tomorrow's physics, not yesterday's. Would you agree?
That's very true, without question. And it's it's highly theoretical, but there are behaviors associated with the subatomic particles that defy explanations. Why Einstein considered it spooky action at a distance. And, but you know, it took us only 66 years to go from Kitty Hawk to when we first stepped foot on the moon.
Right.
Only 66 years. So where are we going to be, obviously, in the next 66 and then some? We can only speculate, of course. But maybe we'll have an answer by then regarding this phenomenon. I sure hope so.
All right. Now, in your book, you mentioned three important contributions to ufology, the Cometa Report, the Disclosure Project, and Citizens Hearing on Disclosure. Has the U.S. given any serious consideration to any of these?
If they have, it hasn't been made public, as far as I'm concerned. The Disclosure Project, the attempt is in principle commendable, but it's not going to go anywhere. It may have woken some people up into recognizing the importance of the phenomenon, but in terms of the needed research and associated funding to conduct that research, that's not going to happen as a result of disclosing these unique experiences that people have had who have reported their at these conferences. The other types of investigations, like the Cometa Report, they're somewhat consistent with Project Blue Book. Small percentages unidentifiable, unknown origin, but some also say it's plasma based, this ionized gas. And yes, the ionized gas does behave in a very strange manner. We do need to better understand that. It's easy to misinterpret it as an intelligently operated craft, because of the way it maneuvers in the sky.
Well, I was going to say,
and Cometa,
do humanoid beings come out of plasma balls?
Well, that probably not.
I was abducted by a plasma ball.
People do report seeing humanoids flying around in the sky, some other very unusual shaped physical objects. And beings. That's true.
All
of these, but the point, we don't have these investigations ongoing now as we have in the past. It seems like everything has come to a halt to a large extent.
Well, you say that about official disclosure, and I've often asked my guests, when we consider the scores of military and government officials, like those you have mentioned, who've come forward from the Disclosure Project to the Citizens Hearing on Disclosure, how would presidential disclosure make it any more official?
You mean if a president like Obama?
Yeah, if the president came out and said,
"Well, given his level of authority and credibility, it would certainly carry an enormous amount of more weight than, for instance, ex Prime Minister Hillier from Canada, who is a firm believer in the UFO phenomenon, and he went on the record stating his position on the matter. But we have a few senators here in the United States and a few other politicians abroad who will be open and upfront with their constituents in terms of their position on the matter, but that's few and far between. Certainly, if Obama says it, we're talking a different situation here. We're talking something that's earth shattering.
Well, you know,
significant.
About 50% of the public, maybe more now, don't take much stock in what Obama says anyway. So why would they believe him? You know, and the polls show that 50% of the country, maybe even the world, except the fact that we're being visited. I think so, more so in other countries like France, Mexico, where, you know, Colombia, where their governments have come out and pretty much admitted that these things are real. And why are they real in France and Colombia, but just fictional over here in America? Does that make any sense to you?
You are exactly right. numerous other countries have been much more open about this phenomenon and have not suppressed it from the public as we have.
Right.
Why, I don't know.
Right.
There's no question about that. But even though you may say 50% of the population doesn't believe what Obama says, nevertheless, that may very well be true. But if he does say something about UFOs and that where he is aware of it and he acknowledges it, then they've suppressed this information, withheld it from the public. Just the fact that he talks about it, regardless of the large percentage of the population that may not buy into what he says, that sharing of information is going to perk more interest than one can imagine.
Oh yeah, most
that's
definitely.
An acknowledgement beyond question that
right.
will rattle some heads.
Right. But I think
now Grant Cameron has written a book on what presidents know about UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
It's somewhat interesting. And we know that Truman and Eisenhower had keen interests, and Clinton said he had attempted to reveal or obtain information about UFOs, but was unsuccessful.
Right.
Who knows what to believe? Who knows if that is true? Hillary Clinton also has expressed interest in this area. Are they denied access to information about it? Who knows?
No.
What president, however, if in the know, is going to reveal that he or she is aware of
right.
it and it would be willing to share it with the population. I think they would be persuaded otherwise for many reasons.
John Podesta.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you.
Go ahead.
John Podesta,
yeah,
who worked
John
in Clinton's
administration.
The administration.
And Obama's.
Advocated for this.
Right. And so Podesta's come forward and said, we should do it because it's right, and we should do it because we can handle it. We should do it because it's the law. It's a law that they disclose these truths to the American people. And now he's with Hillary Clinton's campaign. I mean, I'm not saying vote for one person or the other. I'm just saying he's backing Hillary Clinton and is with her campaign. So what you gonna do? Who you gonna believe, you know? And then you've got Pope, who was with not the Pope, but Nick Pope, that was what was he, Secretary of Defense for England, whatever his post was. But he was in the know about UFOs. That was his job.
Mm-hmm.
And he's come forward. And like you say, Hillier, Secretary of Defense for Canada, he's come forward. Okay, these people who were in the Defense Department should know what's in our skies. And most of them, a lot of them anyway, don't believe that these facts should be kept from the public. And there, I've had my say. Back to you.
Well, you're very accurate in what you're saying, and I appreciate your viewpoints. But there's no question there's an exopolitical agenda associated with this phenomenon. And it's important to note it for what it's worth.
Right.
But here again, we can kick this around, talk about what these high-level officials may or may not know, what the ramifications may be if they do share it with the public.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it doesn't get at the heart of the underlying most fundamental question, which is what is the phenomena all about.
Right.
And we, as far as I know, have no clue. And right. we've made no, as I've mentioned earlier, no significant progress towards right. better understanding what governs and regulates its behavior.
Dr. Bob Davis,
we need to
I'm sorry.
Conduct a prospective analysis of some type of research, as I mentioned, like Free is doing and MUFON is doing,
right.
to deal with the individual experiences. As opposed to retrospective analysis,
right.
In terms of instead of not trying to figure out what presidents know, in terms of trying to figure out what crashed in Roswell, et cetera.
I'm afraid we're running out of time, Mr. Davis. Dr. Davis, where can people go to check out your work and check out your book, UFO Phenomenon, Should I Believe?
Yeah, they can certainly look it up on Amazon. And my website is theufophenomenon.com. That's theufophenomenon.com.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly they can, if they're interested, buy the book on Amazon from any one of a number of book distributors.
Very good. Dr. Bob Davis, thank you so much for joining us. I hope we can do this again sometime.
Well, thank you so much for having me as your guest, Dave. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. And to our listeners, if you have any questions or comments for me, you can email me at dtwitchell@hotmail.com. This show, as well as all the forum shows, is now archived at whfr.fm's website. Click on Talk Shows on the homepage, then Tuesday Forum. We Are Not Alone is also archived at my website, which is ufoimplications.com. So please stay tuned to whfr.fm. The station making waves for the best in alternative programming. I want to thank you for joining us today. Please join us again the first Tuesday of each month at 1 p.m. when we will again explore the mysteries of the UFO phenomenon. And until then, this is David Twitchell reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. Yo, guys and dolls, you're at the malt shop again with Daddy G. Here on WHFR.FM, the station making waves. So we're going back again to the 50s and 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and head on down